Shalom to all. Today's daf is Yerushalmi Erevin daf Yudah. We are starting Tesla and Bays the bottom with Halacha Zion, and Vilnsur's daf is on Tesla and Bays as well. And today's daf is sponsored Lili Nishmas Marsh Mirim Sarabas Yaakov Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And the Mishnah says Bacholos and Olchayim. A person can make the lechi, the side post of their mavli, out of anything. I feel with Darvish Shesh B'Yeruchaim, even with something that has life, he could stick an animal there, and that would be the lechi. Whereas Amir Eiser, Amir Aser, and that's because it's moving, it's not stationary, and it's going to end up walking away, and therefore it's not a valid mechitza. Continuing Umatam Mishum Gailol, an animal can also become tummy because of Gailol. Gailol is the cover of a kever. The moment a person puts the cover on top of the kever, sealing it up, that imparts tumas maga and masa. As according to the Hakama, you take an animal and use it as the cover of a kever. Even though the animal is alive and can walk away, it still will become tame. Whereas Rameir Matari, Rameir's Matari as well. And lastly, Kasanol of Gite Nashim, a person can write a get for a woman on an animal, whereas we're basically apostles, and we're seeing the Gemara why that is. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, B'chayson al-Chayim v'chulu, and Tony Mivabraiso, call the Rosheshba Yerachayim, anything which is alive, Oysen Oysen Dyphin, it can be made as a wall for a sukkah. But we cannot use it as a lechi for a mavoi. That's what Meir says. Where the Chacham say, you can't use it as a wall, but you could use it as a lechi. Now we're going to have a machlekes about this. Amar Rav Acha, Rav Acha says as follows, and pay attention to the girsa change. Trei Tana Inon. Really, in this first memra, it's two separate Tanaim. It's not Rav Meir telling us that you can't use an animal as a wall for a sukkah, but you could use it as a lechi. It's actually two separate Tanaim. Ma Damar Oysen Oysen Daifen, according to the Ma De Amar, that you could use an animal as a wall for a sukkah, Oysen Oysen Lechi. You could also use it as a lechi. And Uman Damar, Einois and Oise Daifen, the one who holds that you can't use an animal as a wall for a sukkah, Einois and Oise Lechi, you can't use an animal as a lechi either. And the shitas, the way that we have them quoted, are actually mixed up. And they're both consistent. Again, if you could use it as a sukkah wall, you could use it as a lechi. If you can't use it as a sukkah wall, you can't use it as a lechi. However, Amar Biaser, Biaser says, and here as well, we have a girsa change, Chad Tanahu, it's one Tana. And now we explain the first Tana, Velama Oise and Oise Daifen, why does this Tana allow one to use an animal as a wall for a sukkah? That's because She'ilu Yishmat, if he decides to just walk away, Margish, he's going to realize that. He's sitting in his sukkah, and all of a sudden his wall walks away because it went to go munch on some tasty grass that it sees. Well, he's going to realize that he doesn't have a wall, and therefore we have no problem. He's just not going to continue eating here because he knows that he's not in a kosher sukkah. But if it ain't ois and ois lechi, he can't use an animal as a lechi, shilu yishmat, if the animal just slips away and decides to walk somewhere else and not be a lechi anymore, who ain't a margish, he's not going to realize that because it's in a mavoi. It's not the place where he's really hanging out. That's not the main place of his function, of where he's doing all of his things, and that's why an animal would not be a kosher lechi. Now, come Rabbi Shua Dermayo im Talmidai Drab Yaisa. That's the proper girsa. Rabbi Shua from the south, from the Darim, met the Talmidim Rab Yaisa. And Amar Loin, he told them it's the proper girsa. Amar in the Basre, the he pliyal Rab Chayin. We have to say that the Seifa, the second opinion, that's a problem with the way your Rabbi explained everything. Because what does the Seifa say? Vachamar in the Chum tell us, you can't use an animal as well for a sukkah, but you could use an animal as a lechi. Now, here's the problem. Maim Bishah She'ilu Yishmat Eino Margish at Amar. Mutter, if in a situation where if it slips away, you're not going to realize, you still say that it's mutter, namely, you're allowed to use an animal as a lechi, wakan she'ilu yishmat hu margish, like kol shekein, here in this case, meaning by a wall of a sukkah, that if it walks away, for sure you are going to realize that. So for sure you should be allowed to use an animal for a sukkah wall. How does your Rebbe, Rabbi Yaisa, explain shitas chachamim that you can't use an animal for a sukkah wall, but you could use it as a lechi? So it must be avatrin tanoin inon al Rabbi Yaisa, that even according to your Rebbe, Rabbi Yaisa, the second opinion, which is attributed to the chachamim, actually has to be the opinion of two separate Tanaim, and that there was a mix-up, and therefore Hecham the Tamar Taman Train Tanayin Inon Al Rabbi Yaisa Kenat Omar of Hacha Train Tanayin Inon Al Rabbi Acha. Just like we had to say in the Sefer of this Braisa, that even according to Rabbi Yaisi, it would have to be split up as opinion of two separate Tanaim. Then we're going to say the same thing as well in the Reisha, that just like Rabbi Acha had said that even in the Reisha it's the opinion of two separate Tanaim, Rabbi Yaisi would agree to that. And we continue discussing this. Rav Shem Bar Karsana says B'Shem Rav Acha that Rav Meir, Rav Yaisa, Rav Loz Ben Azaria Shloshan Amru Davar Echad. All of them said the same exact thing, namely that if a mechitza is moving and it's not solid and stable, it's not considered a proper mechitza. Whereas this, Rav Meir del Chayayim, Rav Meir of our Mishnah of Lechi, now we actually don't even quote the first part of the Mishnah, we're only quoting the second, which is Matam Mishum Gailo, whereas Rav Meir Mataher, and that's not really the main thing we should be quoting. As we just said, we really should be quoting the first part of the Mishnah, that according to Tanakama, we can make a lechi out of anything, even an animal, whereas Rav Meir argues with that an animal is not valid because it's moving, it's not solid and stable, and therefore it's not a valid mechitza. Now, Rabbi Yaisa Dahilo, his opinion has to do with Tumas Oil. We know that a person or Kalim are under the same roof, the same oil, as a mace, as a corpse. They become Tame because of Tumas Oil. They're under the same roof. However, Rabbi Yosef says, Habayas Shebesfina, if a house is built on a boat, Eina maybe as a Tuma, that does not have Din Tumas Oil, and that's because even a regular wind will just blow this house down, and these mechitzas are not considered solid and stable. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, what about him? Detani, we have a Braisa, Maas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, Shebayim Besfina. There's a story that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Kiva, they were on a ship, Va'asar b'kiva sukkah b'resha sfina, Rabbi Kiva made a sukkah on the top of the ship, and ubasa ruach, the wind blew, v'frichasa, and blew the whole sukkah down. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah told him, Akiva, hechan sukkasech, where's your sukkah? Meaning, you never had a sukkah in the first place, even though maybe it looked like you had a sukkah, since it was blown down so easily, it's not considered like you had a sukkah at all, even from the beginning. And so here we have our three tanaim that hold that if we have a mechitza which is not solid and stable, it's not strong, it's not considered a valid mechitza. Now we go back to the end of the Mishnah, where we had said that according to Tana Kama, we're allowed to write the get of a woman on an animal, or is Rabbi Yosef Glili pasul? So the question is, Matan Rabbi Yosef Glili, what's Rabbi Yosef Glili's source? What's his reasoning that we can't write a get on an animal? And that's because the pasuk tells us sefer. A longer quote of the pasuk gives because of law sefer krisos, that when a man writes a woman to get, it's called a sefer krisos, a scroll which is kairos, which cuts off their connection with each other. But what do we learn from here? Ma sefer miyuchad she'im b'ruachayim, just like a sefer, a regular scroll, is unique in that it's not alive, it's just a regular piece of parchment. I've called over she'im b'ruachayim, so too, anything which is not alive is allowed to be used as a get. But if it's alive, it's an animal, you can't use it to write a get on. Furthermore, Rabbi Yosef Glili learns, ma sefer davar miyuchad she'inu oichel, just like a sefer is unique, it's not food, you don't eat parchment, I've called she'inu oichel, so too, a get's allowed to be written on anything which is not food. The question now is, my tamid rabbanon, what's rabbanon's source? Why do they say that you are allowed to write a get on an animal? And the answer is because they learn slightly differently. Ma sefer miyuchad shu betalosh. The answer is they learn a little bit differently. That when they use the word sefer, to tell us as follows. Ma sefer miyuchad shu betalosh, just like a sefer, a regular scroll, is unique, that it's detached from the ground. I've called over shu betalosh. So too, anything that's detached from the ground is allowed to be used to write a get on. But if it's attached to the ground, for example, you have a very large leaf which is still attached to the tree, according to the chamim, you're not allowed to write a get on it. That's not valid. Rabbi Yosef Glili agrees his drasha as well. He just darshins more things out of the word sefer. Now the question as follows, you know, based on top, I'll tell you Rabbi Yosef Glili, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, yadais eichlin ka'eichlin, do we say that the handle of food is considered like food, which really means a stem, for example. You have a piece of fruit, which according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, again, is not to be used to write a get on, but you have the stem of that piece of fruit. Is that considered like the fruit or no? And the answer is in Shemim Adal, so from the following. The Rasa tells us, Kasvei al karen atzvi, let's say he wrote the get on the horn of a deer, v'gadadu, and then he cut it off, v'chasmu, and then he signed it, and then gave it to her kasher. And what do we learn from here? It's only kasher because first he cut it off the deer and then was signed. And so since the main part of the get, which is the signatures according to this opinion, was done after it was detached from the animal, so then it's valid. Mashma, ha'im chasmu v'achach gadu, loy. That if it was signed and then it was cut off the deer, it's not kasher because again, the signatures, which are the main part of the get, were signed while it was still attached to the animal. So we see the yadai, something which is attached to the thing, is considered like the thing itself because this is the horn which is attached to the deer, and that would be the same thing of yadais eichlin ka'eichlin, that stems of food that's attached to food, that's considered like the food itself. Now Rav Acha says b'sherim miyasha u'sha kasav hazachrusa shel karen. This is all talking about where he wrote it on the male part of the horn. What does that mean? So there's actually two parts to a horn. The part that we see on the animal is actually not the zachrus of the karen. It's just the outer part which is made out of keratin, like when you have a regular shofar that we blow on Rosh Hashanah. That's the outer part of the horn. That's the outer part, not the inner part. There's a whole discussion of writing the get on the horn and then cutting it off or not cutting it off is talking about the male part of the horn, which is the inner part, which is actually really just an extension of the animal's skull. Avon kosaval nartikai, but if you wrote it on the nartik, which is the outer part, kiparshu, that's already considered like it's detached, even when it's attached to the animal, the kusher, and it'll be kusher either which way. Rabbi Yana asked the following question, Afal inyan hechsher zrayim came, does Rabbi Yosef Glili hold the same in regards to hechsher zrayim? Explain what this question is. We know that food cannot be makabal toma unless it was mukshar lakabal toma, as we made susceptible to be makabal toma, and that happens only once it gets wet with one of the seven halachic liquids. We're just going to use water right now as the example, even though there's other ones as well, such as wine and honey and milk and others. And the main idea is that this water has to be l'ratzon of the owner. The owner has to want this water. If he doesn't want the water, then it's not makshir his food l'kabal toma. For example, he has an apple outside and then it rains on the apple. If he didn't want the rain, he didn't want it to get wet, it's not going to be makshir l'kabal toma. A different example, he's holding onto his apple and his friend splashes some water on it, but he didn't want that water, it's not makshir l'kabal toma. However, let's say he wants this water for whatever reason. Even if he didn't want it to fall on the apple, he wanted it for a different reason. Even so, if it eventually fell on the apple, so then it is going to be makshir l'kabal toma because he did want this water. Now, it's only if he wanted this water for a davar talush, for something that is detached, but not for something that's attached. For example, if he has a bar, he has a pit, a cistern that he wants to be filled up with water, and it's raining outside, and he's really happy that now his pit is going to be filled up with water, even though he wants that water, it's l'ratzon. Since it's l'ratzon for something that's attached to the ground, this water cistern, it's not considered l'ratzon for something that's detached from the ground, and so even if some of the water splashes out onto his apple, it's not going to be machshel lekal v'toma. So the question over here in Rabbi Yossi is, what about an animal? Since Rabbi Yossi asers writing a get on an animal, and he also asers writing a get on something that's attached to the ground, do we say that an animal is like its mechumra, it's like it's attached to the ground, and therefore if water falls on his animal and he wants that, and then the water falls on his apple, is that going to be machshel lekal v'toma or not? And that's what the Gemara clarifies now. Hey chavida, how is this? Meaning, what's the question? So we just explained it, but here we're going to be reading it inside. He had a machshava, he wanted this water to fall on his animal, and then it went from the animal onto food. So how do we look at it? And here's the two sides. Over there in regards to a get, Rabbi Yossi Glili says, sefer, that it's got to be a sefer krisos. And what do we learn from there? Just like a regular scroll is unique, it's not alive. So to anything which is not alive, we would say the same thing over here. And even though he wanted the water to go on the animal, it's not considered a lerotzain in as much that now if it falls on his food, it's not going to be machshel lekal v'toma. Or perhaps the other way around. Shanihi, maybe this case is different by Hachshir Zroim, because the pasuk says, v'chol mashka asher yishta v'chol kli yitma, that any liquid that goes in a kli could be metame. And that would include even balei chayim, that if the liquid goes on an animal, it still could be machshel lekal v'toma. And therefore, even though it wasn't lerotzain to fall on his food, it still would be machshir it. And so those are the two different options, which we don't really answer. The Gemara just asks on the second one, me'at, if that's really so, if you're using this pasuk of v'chol mashka asher yishta v'chol kli yitma to include animals, then we should also include that if he had in mind that he wants his water to go into his bar sheikh or ma'ara, all these different ways that he can store water, that should also be machshir lekabel toma. And the answer is that no, shani hi hachad echsev kli. This is different because it says kli, and these that are basically holes in the ground are definitely not considered a kli, and they cannot be included in it because they're actually just holes in the ground, and therefore bar sheikh and ma'aras would be excluded from his drasha. Moving on to halacha ches, the Mishnah describes a unique case. Shayara shechanis v'beka. We have a caravan that encamped in a field. Erev Shabbos, this caravan's going, and they realize that it's getting late, they're not getting to a populated area, and they're just going to have to encamp in the middle of the field that they're in. But they want to be able to carry within their entire encampment. So they have to make themselves some sort of mechitzas to be able to do that. So what do? V'kifu klei behema. They surround their whole encampment with different kalim from their animals, like saddles and cushions and things like that. Metatlan b'saycha. They can carry within this entire thing, it's no problem, because these klei behema are basically mechitzas, turning this whole area into a shesu yachid. Ubilvachi hei gedr gavaya sarat tfachim. As long as this makeshift fence that they built is 10 tefachim high, and v'lo yu process yusir salabinyan, the gaps, the open spaces, aren't allowed to be more than the actual built area. They didn't build anything, as we just said. They really just laid out the different kalim of their animals as if it's a fence. It just means that there can't be gaps that are wider than the actual kalim that they're using as their fence. And another din, kol pirtza shika eser amos, any gap which is 10 amos wide, mutaris, that's totally permitted, b'nei shika pesach, because that's considered like the opening of their fence. It's like the door that they'd be going in and out of, but yosir mikan, usur. If it's wider than 10 amos, it's usur, because we learned in the first mission of the Masechta, a gap that's wider than 10 amos can't be considered a doorway, unless, of course, it has a source of Pesach. But over here, we're not discussing source of Pesach. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Shara Shechon is a big of a chulu, and now we clarify, Rav Acha says, Rav Shem Rav Chizdai, Lami Nitzrecha, who is this a chiddush in? Rav Yis Rav Yudah, court Rav Yis Rav Yudah. Rav Yis Rav Yudah Omer, he tells us in a Mishnah Maseches Kalayim, Kol Mechitza She'ena Shel Shesi V'Shel Erev, Eina Mechitza, that any Mechitza that doesn't have Shesi and Erev, which means it doesn't have a crisscross pattern. Shesi means going up and down. Erev is going across. So it's basically a mechitza or a fence that has a crisscross pattern. That's not a mechitza, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudah. However, the chiddush is, Humadu Hacha, over here he agrees that this would be considered a valid mechitza. According to the Tana that argues with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudah, our mission is not a chiddush at all. Because that Tana holds, let's say we just have slats going up and down. That's Shesi. And they're within three tefachim of each other. So Lavid closes gaps. And that means we have a regular fence here. But again, it's according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudah that usually requires Shesi and Erev, their mission is a chiddush, that we could still use such a fence. And Mitani can be a brass just like this, b'chol ois and mechitzos, we can make mechitzos with anything, afilu kafin, even with saddles, afilu avitin, even with the cushions, they usually go under the rider of a camel, afilu gemalim, yud alfam ralf on top, uvat shalo yehe bein ikof l'ikof m'lai ikof, as long as in between every saddle that's being used, there isn't the space of a saddle, there has to be a little bit less than that, and bein avit l'avid m'lai avit, in between every cushion, there can't be the space of a cushion, there has to be less than that, and bein gamol l'gamol k'm'lai gamol, in between every camel, there isn't allowed to be the space of a camel, and also the closed off part can't be corresponding to the closed off part and open corresponding to the open. El oimed connected parts, or parts connected oimed, the open has to be by the closed and the closed has to be by the open. Basically, imagine that they formed this makeshift fence in a square. So, the northern wall, the middle part was open because there wasn't a saddle there. What the Brassa just said is that on the southern part, corresponding to the open part of the northern side, there has to be a saddle there. Basically, basically making sure that it's not mafolish, that it's not totally open, both on the north and southern parts, and it would be the same thing by east and west, for example. Let's say in the middle of this makeshift eastern wall that they made, there's an open spot, so the area corresponding to it on the western wall has to be closed off, and that way they would have proper mechitzas they could carry within. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss mechitzas that have holes in them, and what's still considered a mechitza, and what's mevatalit from a zin of mechitza. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.